Welcome. This is week 5 of Working with the Law with transformational life coach, Christy Carotti.
Okay, hello and welcome. We are studying the law of receiving today, but let's start at that place and at that tone where we always begin, which is looking at our gratitude, setting our gratitudes and our proud of. And right now, I'm going to say that I'm grateful for my life, the life that I've created for myself, my breath that gives me life. And I'm proud that I'm out doing the work that at this point in my time is my purpose and really watching some amazing transformations. And I just feel proud of being a part of people's transformation. So go ahead and take a moment, maybe write it down if you have a journal, and go ahead and write down your gratitude and you're proud of. And we set that tone, creating a container, letting the universe know that we are open and moving forward in the direction of our dream. And we cast that net, and here I am in Texas, and you guys on the West Coast, and just see that that gratitude and proud of vibration is creating a net that kind of like trickles down and touches everyone. And we can spin and cast that net around our planet and know that just by us moving to that place of gratitude and proud of, we shift the entire consciousness of the planet. So we are studying the law of receiving today. We studied the law of attraction a couple of weeks ago, and the way the law of attraction works is that with our attention and our expectation, we begin to attract, and then we studied the law of supply, and that's what we are attracting. Well, we're not really attracting. It's more like the low pressure front that we create the space for supply to come into, and that all supply is available all around us all the time. And the way we work with the law is that it's a growing understanding. And so we touched on all 12 of these laws, and now we're taking a deeper dive, and we'll come around again. So this is really a growing understanding of how the law works. The law doesn't change, but what shifts is our understanding of it. And so the more we understand it, the more fun it is to work with and use these principles. And today we're going to talk about the law of receiving, but I just want to remind you that you have been created to bring your gift into the world, and that it is the delight of the divine when you express that through harmony. And that is part of working with the law. When we work in harmony with the law, when we give our gift into the world, when we work with the law as opposed to trying to do it our own way, we actually bring delight into that universal field. And we often think that the source of our good, that the source of all things, and you guys have been in this work for a while, so you know that it's a little different than that, but that the source of all things, people often think that it is that of the real world, right? That it's that we get our source from even mining the gold, if you will. And that makes the source limited. If we think about, you know, it's just like when they talk about trying to find a resource, whether it's oil or gold, you know, it's like eventually it's going to run out, just like our oil supply, right? But universal supply is unlimited. And as you know, it works backwards. It's our thought into the substance, right, into that creative substance becomes form. So the law of receiving is really well stated in a scripture, which I'm not a big scripture person, but it's written here in my notes, so I can talk about it. Give and it shall be given unto you. So it doesn't say get and then you can give. It says give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, running over. And there is so much good and so much supply that you cannot even contain it. Okay, but the trick of this, the truth of this, the practice of this is to get in harmony with the law. We're dealing with the infinite, and we cannot even contain the good that is seeking us. Think about that. The good is seeking us. And the only thing in the way is our belief systems, is what we don't know. And so that's why we're in this work to study. Napoleon Hill said, when money starts coming, it will come so fast and furious that you're going to wonder where it's been hiding through all these lean years. Okay, so, and money is just outpicturing of supply. It is not supply. Money is not our supply. We don't want the money. We don't even want the plane ticket that we buy with the money. We want the travel, right? So, it's being in perfect harmony with the law, and that's why we study the law that allows this experience that Napoleon Hill's talking about to take place. He who seeks the greater life with getting as his objective does not seek life in trueness of spirit. To the extent and so long as any material object remains between the mind of the seeker and the law of God, the two are held apart and do not become one. In the same degree that a man holds to personal opinion and desire, he is limited in knowing and experiencing the limitless authority and power endowed by him and by his creator. So the law of receiving is really a reciprocal law, and the concept of getting is I need to get because otherwise I won't have. So the idea is a free flow of that there's not a fear behind the getting. And that's where need comes in as being a negative in a sense. I need this because I don't have it. That's a lack of belief. But I'm open to receiving my good. I'm in the natural flow of the universe. My income is merely a reciprocal part of giving my gift. So it's easy to look at when I'm asking for something. Is there a flow? In a state of limited understanding, we reason that we must get before we give, and then we turn and walk in the same mental rut as before by reasoning that we must give before we get. But in our lack of understanding, we continue to leave the getting idea foremost in our thought, and we shut off the spirit of giving. So this whole idea of getting versus giving, and we're talking about the law of receiving. So here we are talking about the law of receiving, and yet we're talking about getting and giving. It's an interesting thing because the law of receiving is about giving. Giving, which is the first or fundamental law of life, is the first law of all creation. The attitude of getting is the law of life in a congested state, in repressed action. And as long as getting dominates a mind, that mind is in a paralyzed condition, being limited in its action in accord with the fundamental law of creation. So, in our limited understanding, we reason that we must get before we can give. But we must give before we can get. Now, I wonder what the chatter's going on in our heads right now. You know, I give and I give and I give. Well, there's a lot of questions. Giving is the first and fundamental law of life. It is the first law of creation. By our giving, we notify the universe that we are in the flow, in the cycle, in trust, in faith, and knowing that we are part of the all-abundant supply. You know, it's sometimes hard when we look at our checkbook and we say, look, there's limited funds here. And we're not just talking about money here and giving, but even if you give in a small amount, Mary says, pick up a quarter and give it to somebody. Mail a dollar off to somebody anonymously. You know, it must work within your nervous system, because if you go outside of your nervous system, what do you create? You create fear. Fear creates constriction. Constriction, and this is what they're talking about, the congested state of the idea of needing to get. It's common with people who have started the Dream Builder training to become a Dream Builder coach. And, you know, it's not an inexpensive endeavor. And then they say, like I asked somebody the other day, are you in the Accelerator program? And believe me, without the Accelerator program, without that coaching for me, I probably would have gone another direction by now, because I need a coach to stay in this work. And I said, are you doing the Accelerator program? They said, no, I thought I better start making money before I do that. You know, it's like I need to get first before I give. And I'm not saying give outside of, like I said, what works in our central nervous system, but how far can we stretch that? How much trust and faith can we have to know that there is abundant supply all around? Because anytime you say I need to get before I can give, that says there's a limited supply, and I'm afraid I might not get mine. As long as getting dominates the mind, it's a paralyzed condition. Think about that. Doesn't that paralyze you? I mean, it stops the flow. I must get before I give. And just like in the work of becoming a coach, there's so many things that you can give out as a coach to begin the flow in the cycle. So they talked about giver's gain as opposed to being raised to get. What are we going to get? What kind of paycheck are we going to get? It's the thought we put on that whole cycle. No desire is felt until the supply is ready to appear. Think about it. That's actually saying if you've got the desire, then the supply is ready to appear, because we will not have a desire unless the desire is ready to appear. All we have to do, just like Michelangelo did, is to chip away at everything that isn't the truth. And then that beauty, that flow, that law of receiving is immediate and visible to us. You can have whatever you're willing to become. Okay, so we talk all the time about setting our vision, setting our intention, and I've heard Mary say so many times, but people aren't willing to do what I do to do what I do. Okay, what are you willing to become? You know, and to be in the work that you're in and the work that I'm in, it takes constant study, and that's what we're here doing. And my talk Sunday at the center was all about vibration, about what kind of vibrations are we going to match. And whatever we need to do to create that vibration, this says you can have whatever you're willing to become. And part of that willing is to have that vibrational match, to be it. And that's why we do our visioning, and we do it as if it's already taken place. And we've talked about this before, but we want to always be turning our attention, our focus on that we want, not that's not working. So Reverend Larry here, that I'm staying with my friend, she was talking about, she found herself looking out at the empty seats at her church. And she said, oh, that's right, I need to look at all the seats that are filled. And then I can imagine even more seats filled, but not to look at the empty seats. And that's what we want to do. And I love this metaphor of what do you do when you go into a cold room? Do you focus on the cold? That might be our first sense or sensation, but that's just like befriending our fear. The cold says, oh, go turn on the heat, right? So we turn and we go and we focus on what is it that we need to do to create the fire that warms us. So many people try to work with the law backwards. We just talked about that a minute ago, that after I get, then I can give. And if you wish to get any good thing, you must first give some good to build upon. And it doesn't have to be money. It doesn't even have to be that thing. But it has to be in the vibrational match. You know, this is what we do with our tagline. My tagline being painting sunflowers in France. When I move to that vibrational match, then that's what I attract to me. So what I'm trying to say here is I don't need to give always in the area of money to receive money, but I need to be in that vibrational match. And that's one of the reasons that we do our gratitudes and proud of, because that is the frequency of. And then the other principle that I just wanted to point out in here is that if we hold money too tight, then that also restricts the flow of allowing the reciprocal nature of flow to take place, that we need to hold our hands open to receive and reach our hands out to give. That it's a reciprocal nature, but if we hold on tight, we stop the flow. And it's just like investing, you know, if you have your money, but you don't invest it, it doesn't grow, right? And then the other concept is that if we fail to pay full value in exchange, we fail to understand the prospering law back of the idea. Money represents the law of service. And this was a huge understanding for me when I first, 35 years ago, walked into Dr. Peggy's center and the offering basket would come around. I just was like, I'm not paying for my spirituality. I'm not paying for this. This should all be free. This should all. And one time after a service, I went with some friends out to see a movie and I paid $8 for that movie. And the movie was terrible. And I thought, wow, I got better value out of the service that I just went to than I did out of this movie. And yet I'm not willing to put my money into an even greater value. And so that was actually a turning point for me to start giving. Now, I wasn't tithing yet, but I was giving. And I realized that I was giving out of gratitude. And that brings us to tithing. So one thing I loved in here, they say that tithing gives a person self-reliance, a confidence which enables him to build up a positive mental attitude which attracts success. So think about that. And that when you tithe, then that enables you to see that you are building in the direction of prosperity, and it becomes greater and greater and greater that you're able to do that. And the other aspect of this is doing it on a consistent basis. And this speaks to the idea that we want to create a habit of abundance and of a flow and of giving and receiving. And that we don't give as a bargain, you know, oh, I'm going to tithe 10% so I can get my overflowing abundance back again. That's not why we give. And if we give out of bargaining, then our mind is not free to allow that. So we want to make sure, and, you know, I've told you my tithing story many times, and that I actually did know that it would come back. And I had put the money in the offering with a sense of almost like a gesture, you know, of laughing. Okay, universe, let's see how you bring this back around. Now, I didn't give to get back, but I did give knowing I would get back. And it was like out of fun and excitement to see how that would come back. And, of course, it came back. Someday I have to figure out what that percentage. If I gave 10% and it was 150 and I got 15,000, what's the percentage of that? Maybe one of you math whizzes can let me know. So just coming back to our vision, I want to make sure that you have a clear vision that you're moving towards and that we not only five-sensorize our vision, but we have an emotional match or a vibrational match that we are using our vision. Now, I have several versions of my vision, and I happen to run across one that I really love the vibration of, which is I have an image of sitting down at the breakfast table with Jerry and saying, oh, Jerry, just wanted to go through our schedule. You know, in 3 weeks, I'm leaving to go paint for 10 days in France. And then I'm going to meet up with my retreat participants that are going to arrive on the Italian Riviera, where we're going to do in a creative way. And that'll be a 10-day retreat. And then I'll meet you for a 10-day vacation down in Costa Rica, and Aaron's going to come visit us. So this whole idea, I mean, it's a real feeling, emotion to that of like going, wow, look at my life. You know, this is good. This is a match. So feeling that emotional vibration. And when I sit down and write the facts of my vision, it comes out very dry. Okay, so I make X amount of dollars. I mean, I think for me, I can use that experience and like, wow, I just got a check for X amount of dollars. Let me share that joy with you, Jerry. You know, so I can use my relationship and my family life to help create the emotion to create that match. The desire to get comes from a place of lack. So how do we move in any situation to a place of giving rather than getting? And when we set our intention of our income, you know, we're going to make X amount of dollars. You know, how do we change the vibrational frequency of that from getting, which is almost like holding on to what I get. It's mine. If we move into that place of more free giving, and it's not giving it all away, it's giving, you know, it's the sweetest little thing. I was in the grocery store. I had a $100 bill in my wallet, and the little old lady in front of me had forgot her debit card, and she was pulling out dollar bills and dropping them on the floor, and I picked them up for her, and she was all flustered, and she asked the clerk, and she said, can I take the groceries home and come back and pay for them? He says, no, I have to unring them. And I said, how much is it? It's $12.97. I said, here, I need to break this $100 bill anyway. Can I pay for your groceries? You know? And it's like, it was really funny because then I paid for my groceries and I was cashing this money so that I had $60 in cash to give somebody. I ended up not having $60 in cash. And yet it was okay. It was like, oh, well, I can write a check. But it's like, how do we keep that flow of giving and not move into that fear? You know, it wasn't like fear of like, oh my gosh, I don't have the $60. It was like, I'm a giving person. I have everything available to me that I need. And this is a powerful thought. You have enough to do all of your dreams and aspirations that you want and to take care of the needs, if need be, of this situation. Is your great accepting of that true nature of yourself, of exploring your greater connection to your own greatness. And what you do with the fear is you befriend the fear, right? You don't send it away and you don't try to affirmation it away. That's the first step. That's only our life preserver. The second step is to take the fear, place it in front of you, stare it in the eye and say, what gift do you have for me? And then Abraham Lincoln, I think it was, said, you have so many enemies, you need to get rid of your enemies. But if I turn my enemies into my friends, they are no longer my enemy. And it's the same thing with our fear. If we turn our fear into our teacher, our gift, our, you know, and that's why it's so wonderful once we get in this work that, you know, our paradigms do start popping up. It's like, oh, good, I get to have another friend. You don't look like a friend, but I've got another friend coming along here. And it's almost like one of the gifts of this is like, I am not limited by my physical ability. I can be fully present in this conference, learning and gleaning and participating. I am my body, and my body is merely a vehicle of mine, and I have other vehicles, like my mind and my voice. So somebody gave a great example of the ocean. If you need water and you go to the ocean, and you can go to the ocean with a thimble, you can go with a wheelbarrow, or you can go with a tank truck. And when you take the water out of the ocean, does it lower the level of the ocean? No. When you take something out of a unlimited field, there is nothing lacking for anyone else, anywhere else. So that is the law of receiving, is that you can take everything that you need. It is all available to you. But if you go to the ocean and you say, oh my God, I need this, you come from a place, and this is what getting is. Getting is coming from a place of need and believing in lack. I need to get my share because there won't be enough to go around. That's how he's using this idea here. We continue to leave the getting idea. So in the state of limited understanding, we reason that we must get before we can give. And the reason that we reason that in the status quo kind of thinking is that we believe that if we give something that we have, we won't have it anymore, and we therefore will be in lack, when actually everything is available to us all the time. And it's only our thinking, our belief system, the boogeymen, that keep us from really experiencing that expansion. Albert Schweitzer said, "I don't know what you will do in life, but I know this. Only those of you who find a way to give of yourself will truly be happy."
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Here are two exclusive podcast listener offers. First, for a limited time, podcast listeners can work with Christy in person at a deep discount. Christy offers a unique coaching modality of her own creation that helps clients discover their own answers to where they're stuck and how to move forward. As one of her clients puts it, "It always works." This transformative process is designed to help you identify blocks and create breakthroughs in your personal and professional life. As a thank you for listening to the podcast, you're eligible for a special discount. Normally $97 for a half-hour introductory session, podcast listeners get a $70 discount automatically applied if you use this link, masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. That's masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. And that link is in the podcast general description as well. Second, you can get the entire library of Mastering the Art of Life with PDF notes and worksheets for each lesson, plus bonuses at no cost at masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month-opt-in, all one word, masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month-opt-in. That link is also in the general podcast description.